Tonight I'm going to start in 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse 2 because I'm going to be reading through some scriptures along the way, and I just don't want to have to read the whole thing. So in this first part, I'm reading out of the Amplified. It says, "May grace, which is God's favor on our lives, and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, and that comes from God, all spiritual prosperity and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts, to be multiplied to you in full personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." So basically, the NIV says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Now, peace in the English definition is the absence of conflict, which to me, it just sounds kind of boring. But there is a deeper meaning to the word. And in Israel, they say shalom, which is to say hi or goodbye. And shalom means may you be full of well-being, or may have health and prosperity to be upon you. So it's a blessing that's being spoken to someone or over someone. And so Paul was speaking a blessing of God over the reader is what he was doing. So may God bless you with grace and peace as you come to know Jesus, our God and Lord, better and better. So when we know, that is to say, when we believe in the truth, the correct, precise knowledge of God, which is the gospel of Jesus, and not believing a false gospel, grace and peace are multiplied to you. So when you know the truth and not the false, because that's when you read 2 Peter, it goes into the false teachings and all that, you're not going to be blessed. You're only going to be pulled away and led astray. So having the true knowledge of God stabilizes our faith. False always leads you astray. It pulls you away from Jesus rather drawing you to closer to God. And there only has to be a little slip in there that can wreak havoc if you're not in tune to a false teacher. You know, you need to be in tune with God to know the word. Verse 3, it says, "For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence, which is virtue." So God has bestowed all necessary good and all spiritual prosperity upon us. And the word bestowed is to present as a gift. It's to give, to put into use. So God has given us gifts. Gifts are given. They're not returned. You give them. So God's given us all the necessary things that we need to know him better. His divine power gives us everything, all things we need for living a godly life. And to live a godly life, you need to know him better. Amen. We're a chosen people, and we have the privilege and obligation to live a right life before God and man. And sometimes it's easy to get along with God, but it's hard to get along with people. And that's where we need to be careful, because if somebody does something, just doesn't do something the right way, you can get offended or easily, you know, hurt and that. But the better you know God, that stuff can just come right off. You won't take offense to that stuff. And you love people better. And that's what we need to do, is we need to love people better, just as much as we love God. Right. So We are a kingdom of priests, God's holy nation, his very own possession, so we can show others the goodness of God, having drawn us out of darkness into his marvelous light. All things that are requisite. Now, requisite is made necessary for our achievement. God wants us to achieve in the things of him, and he's given everything that we need to do that, to be successful in life. So he's given us everything. It's not up to us to try to make it happen, but it's up to us to be obedient and to follow him in those ways. If God's correcting you on something, then you need to be obedient and listen. You know, I hate to say this, but I've seen it in churches, and I've seen it in this church, where people get offended, and they take it home with them, and they carry it on with them. They come back the next Sunday, worship God, but yet they won't look at that person, or they don't want to have nothing to do with them. God's not going to have that. He wants us to be united. Yes. We are all of one faith, the precious faith of Jesus. Yes. And so we need to walk in love, and we need to be forgiving. You know, not everybody is where you are. And if so, we need to allow for allowances towards others. You know, and maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe they're not as grown up in the Lord as you are. But we need to recognize that. And when you get closer to God, when you know him better and better, you're quick to forgive. You're quick to be understanding and quick to love people. And we need that in this church. We need it. So, the full personal knowledge of God is truth, the living truth, and the word of truth. It's believing in Jesus, God's Son, who came down from heaven, born of a virgin, went to the cross and died that we might live and be forgiven of our sins. He's forgiven us of much. I know I have a lot of sins in my background that God has covered, and I need to be just as forgiving to others as he's forgiven me. He then rose from the grave and is now seated at the right hand of God, and will return as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. By his divine power through the Holy Spirit, we are called to his own glory, and by his own excellence to also live in virtue. We're also supposed to be living in virtue. God's excellence. Verse 4 says, by means of these, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature. Now, I'm reading this because, well, first of all, God put this on my heart to read, to share this message with you, but because we need to be reminded, and that's what Paul was doing. He was reminding the church. You know, this was to the church. So by means of his power, he has given us all of the rich of his rich and wonderful promises, that we may escape moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that's in the world, and become sharers of his divine nature. I think I read that already. It's not in our nature to live a godly life. It's not. We don't have it in us. Apart from God, we don't have it in us to live a godly life. We have to put on the divine nature of Christ so that we might live through him in order to keep us from sin and to help us to live for him. The Holy Spirit in his goodness empowers us to live as Christ lived. He's the one who convicts us and brings attention to those things that we need to work out in our life. And because of the promises, we can cleanse ourselves from everything that defiles our body and spirit. Our bodies belong to the Lord to hold his glory, turning away from sin and turning toward God. We must work toward complete purity or holiness because of our love for him and for others. In verse 5, it says, for this very reason, adding your diligence, which is adding your faith to all this, to the divine promises, employ, which is to work at it. We have to work at this. We have to work at this with the help of the Holy Spirit. Every affection in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, and Christian energy. Thank God for Christian energy. Thank God that God gives us the energy. He stirs us up so for us to do what we need to do. And I know sometimes I need energy, even at home, to maybe pray or just to spend time with him, because I'm human, and there's times that I don't want to. I just want to sit and maybe watch a movie or, you know, but God stirs us, and but he's quick to forgive us. In other words, make up your mind. Make a commitment to resolve your moral battles. And what I meant by that was sometimes we go back and forth. We're going back and forth between doing right. Like for me, I made a commitment years ago, and I know I've said this before. I made a commitment years ago for me not to swear. That was my conviction. And I told myself years ago, I don't want to swear. I'm not going to swear. I made that a point, a conviction of my own, and I don't. And even the slang words, it's very rare one will come out of my mouth because I've made it a commitment. We need to make commitments in our lives, and we need to stick with them. Stop going back and forth, doing what's right, doing what's wrong, get mad at this person, and not forgive. We have to be committed. We have to be committed to God. To live in excellence and virtue, we have to have commitment, and we have to have discipline. Discipline ourselves. So if you have a conviction about something in your life, then make a commitment between you and God and break that habit and stop doing it. Don't go back and forth with it. The Bible teaches us that we can't serve two masters, because most likely, like swearing, to me, that's wrong. And it's like, I'm not going to make that my master. I don't want nothing to do with that. And now after you guys hear this, you guys will all be delivered. In the NLT for the next verses, it says in verse 5, so make every effort to apply the benefits of these promises to your life. Then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence. A life of moral excellence leads to knowing God better. And the more we know God, the better it gets. Yeah. Knowing God leads to self-control. And self-control leads to patient endurance. And patient endurance leads to godliness. And godliness leads to love for other Christians. And finally, you will grow to have genuine love for everyone. See, you gotta love your brothers and sisters first before you can love them out there. You know, so we should be careful in here how we're treating one another. Amen. I have heard Christians say, oh, it's hard to forgive that person, or it's so hard to give this up or that up. That's the flesh talking. That's not what God wants for you. The flesh wants to stay the way it is. It wants to have its way. It doesn't like to give up pride. And that's what it boils down to. It's easy just to stay the way we are and not go through the hard work. But that's what the Bible said, to work hard at it. But the more we give into the flesh and not discipline it to do what is right or what God wants us to do, the easier it will become to fall away from the Lord when deception comes. We got to do what's right now. We got to choose to do that now. You have to give up your throne and let God have his place in your heart. Amen. Let him sit on the throne of your heart. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you." If we want to have God's peace, perfect peace, then we have to give up our fleshly desires. God's peace is not as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. You can forgive that person you're holding a grudge against, and you don't have to live in the fear of man. The only place you will find peace for your life is in God. If you're looking for it anywhere else, through drugs, through alcohol, through pornography, whatever, you're not going to find it. The only place you find peace, perfect peace, is serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, the more you grow like this, the more you will become productive and useful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Habakkuk 2:14, it says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." See, that's what God wants. As we get filled with the knowledge of God, it'll be like a sea of people, you know, with the knowledge and the glory of God washing over the earth, washing over the United States, over Michigan, over Carroll. Yeah. Paul prayed for the Christian church to have wisdom and understanding so that we might grow in the knowledge of God. He knew the more we know him, the more we become like him, giving up our own selfish desires and living wholehearted for God. The kingdom of God is filled with the knowledge of him and is being poured out through us. They see it through us. But those who fail to develop these virtues are blind, or at least very short-sighted. They only see for a short distance. They have already forgotten that God has cleansed them from their old life of sin, and they're resorting back to old patterns and old ways. And that's, God has already set us free from that. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Doing this, you will never stumble or fall away. And God will open wide the gates of heaven for you to enter into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I pray, Father God, for these people. I pray for all who hear this word, Lord God, that we will always bring you honor and glory through our life, Lord. As we come to know you more and more, Lord Jesus, we will be better and better at being more like you. But Father, we know that comes through the work of your Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just remind us of your word. And Lord, help us to overcome those old ways, those old patterns, those any unforgiveness we're holding against someone, or any offense, anything, Lord God, that doesn't bring you honor or pleasure in our life, Lord God, we surrender it to you. We ask you to forgive us, and we receive your forgiveness. And Lord God, we look forward to the blessings and the promises that you have for us, that you've given us, Lord God. As we walk in your ways, Lord God, we know that those promises will be fulfilled. I just thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. Father, I thank you that you sent your son to die on the cross to save us, to save us, Lord, from our sins, that we might be restored back to you, Lord. I thank you and I praise you, and I give you all the glory and honor, Lord God. I pray your blessings over these people, Lord. I pray blessings upon them, Father. I ask, Lord God, that you would pour out your blessings somewhere, at some point in their life this week. Lord God, I ask that you would personally bless them. Bless them, Lord, in some way that will bless them in a way that will bring you honor in their life, that it will draw them closer to you, and that it will help them, Lord, to serve you even better. I thank you, Jesus. You are a good, good Father. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Father, I bind the enemy over this congregation. Any attacks of the enemy over anyone in this congregation, Father God, I bind it in Jesus' name. In the power and the authority of the name of Jesus, be bound. I thank you, Lord God, that you have set these people free. I thank you that you have ordered their steps and they walk in those steps, Lord God, that you have ordered for their life, Lord. I thank you, Father God. Pour out of us, Father. Pour out of us, Holy Spirit. Everywhere we go, may the light of Jesus Christ shine through us. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with your glory through us, Father. Pour us out, Father God, in the city.